No, Chairperson, thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Chairperson, let me raise this concern because this thing is not happening today. It's consistently happening that we have been undermined by both political heads of departments, ministers and deputy ministers. And what their license officers have been taught is that when they come to the meeting, they'll always tell us the letters on the way. The invitation didn't get to the offices yesterday or today in the morning. You knew long ago that we are supposed to meet us as a select committee to come and present to us what we've achieved and not what we've achieved. But today when you come here and tell us the letter is on its way, we now start to have a problem, Chairperson. But nonetheless, because we are being undermined and turning away will never cease, we are representing our provinces here. The issue is about our provinces. The issue here is not about you. The issue is about the people that we said to them will serve you because we'll be ourselves. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Zwane. Thank you, Chairperson. The committee has always insisted, Chair, as you we all know as members, that in the absence of the minister, at least the deputy minister should be there because this is a session where the department accounts what has been done to spend the budget that is asked as the NCOP. So accounting also includes the political input by political heads of the departments. And the issues that members may raise that are directed straight to them regarding certain issues that we pick up in our constituencies as MPs. And they normally are addressed when they are present. We understand that the acting DG has got the capacity to answer the questions that the committee may raise, but the political component is always very important. Nonetheless, Chairperson, in light of the fact that we've got no other day that you can shift this engagement to, even the fact that we're just about to close, we will allow this, but write a letter to say that we were not happy that both the minister and the deputy were not today, because at least the deputy should have been here to honor this obligation as it happens with all other government departments. It's not something that we're doing for human government, all departments for which we're responsible. We will always insist that either of the two should be here. Thank you, Chair.
No, thanks, Chair. I was not going to say anything, but because the chair wants me to say something, I say I agree with the Honourable Zwane. Let's just proceed with the meeting. One understands the very hectic period of the country. And this minister is one of the very busy politicians at this time around. So we understand it's a must.
You talk about something I don't know.
Okay.
No, thank you very much, all members. But acting DG, this is not on at all. Not acceptable. It's not for the first time we're talking about this, especially in this department. We are politicians ourselves. We have issues from our provinces, but presenting provinces. Issues that we want to raise with the minister or the deputy, but we are denied that opportunity. It's not on. We are going to write a letter to the minister. Raising our concerns as a committee. But let's proceed with our meetings. All members from my side, from the members, I received 4 apologies. Honorable Stock on sick leave. Honorable Ngwenya on sick leave, we know that one. Honorable Hutton, prior engagements. and Honorable Shodi on sick leave. I just received one from the committee whip of Honorable Samka. We will proceed with our meeting. I will then request the DG to brief us, but DG, acting DG, there is nothing new that we're expecting from you. Don't be creative. Report on the matters that you presented to the committee that you were going to do in the year in question. How far have you gone in terms of implementation? Where there are challenges, indicate them. Don't wait for members to ask questions. Be proactive. Indicate them. What were the challenges? How do you plan to deal with them? That is all what we're expecting from you. But you know that we are representing provinces, who are unlike the portfolio committees. We would want to see a provincial perspective. Seated here, I want to see what are you doing in Mpumalanga. Honorable Mbulu want to know what you're doing in Limpopo, Kaula, and Zwane. They want to do what is they want to know what is happening in KZN and what happened. So as you'll be presenting your report, I saw your presentation does not speak to provinces. Please find a way, I don't know how, to speak to issues that relate to our provinces, because we're representing provinces. We're more interested on provinces. Over to you. I don't know how you have planned your presentation, but we're going to give you, I don't know, looking at your presentation, unless something else, I think 30 minutes will do. Yeah, but it will be flexible. But for now, I'm giving you 30 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, I'm joined by Mr. William Chiana, who is the acting DEG for IGR. On my left, I'll just ask my colleagues to just introduce themselves, if that's in order, Chair. Also an apology from the CFO, Mr. Nyameko Mbengu, who's acting as CFO, because the CFO is taken ill. And I've got colleagues from our Deputy Director General responsible for Corporate Services, Mr. Nyameko. And then I've got the Chief Director responsible for Enterprise Architecture with the Strategic Plan, that's Ms. Mofundo Nozdwaba, as well as Ms. Lucy Masilo sitting behind me, who is the Chief Investment Officer. So, Chair, what I will do is I will do the non-financial part, and Mr. Mbengu will then take us through the financial part. But as requested, Chair, I will highlight, and as part of the presentation, highlight certain issues that honourable members have raised, particularly in relation to the topic, so we'll be able to touch on that, and we're required, Chair, we will supplement that if required with additional information.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, what we have done as part of the overview of the presentation, and that's on slide two, we give a summary of the operational and the strategic management progress, the targets not achieved, the annual targets on progress for the 2016-17 annual performance plan, then the financial information, the overall performance of the department, the audit findings, and the department's response to the audit findings. Which I think is just important to note that on bullet points 3 and 5, as part of the annual targets and progress on the APP, we do make reference to some of the we'll make reference to some of the provinces and where there have been weaknesses. Chair, what we, just a summary of the operational and strategic management processes. Chair, you'll know that we, during the previous financial year, we were not, and we expressed this, and I think it was a collective agreement, both politically and administratively, and with members of parliament. And the NCOP, that there needed to be an improvement, particularly in relation to the performance of provinces and municipalities, because they were not performing optimally, and we wanted to improve the ability to get the value for money. So in relation to that, Chair, What we have done as a department is we streamlined the planning processes with provinces and metros to ensure aligned and responsive plans to strategic priorities. I think one of the issues that we've also undertaken in relation to this, to the planning process, is not only in relation to metros, but what is now termed the intermediate cities. So those intermediate cities would include, in the case of Limpopo, Polokwane, in the case of Mpumalanga, Mbombela, in the case of there's 12 intermediate cities, includes Msunduzi, as well as Rustenburg in the Bojanala district as well. We have provided support to provinces and metros in the implementation of priorities, and this has assisted the department in managing the risk. So later on you'll see, Chair, we raised and we provided support. So at this early stage, I think I'll just alert members that the provinces that we've had to provide support to in the course of this financial year has been the Northwest, has been Limpopo, the Free State, as well as this one. But I think it's also important to note, Chair, that in relation to the provinces where we've seen an improvement, we've seen a remarkable improvement in Mpumalanga. So you'll see that in the case of Mpumalanga, there's been an improvement, particularly in relation to its meeting its targets, its planning, and just the general efficiency. We've seen a regression, particularly in relation to Limpopo. We've seen good performance continued from both KZN and the Western Cape. So those two provinces, together with the Eastern Cape, have continued on that trajectory and will reflect that. And on point four, Chair, on that slide there, that's we've indicated that one of the issues that has continued to raise the issue, and you'll see the performance has not been good, is the issue of title deeds. Both the pre-94, the post-94, and as well as the current. And there's a number of measures that we've taken to do that, to address that issue. One of the issues we've done, Chair, is we've institutionalized the program and project support for title deeds in the provinces. And then, Chair, in relation to the last two bullet points on that slide, both the Auditor General together with the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation requested that what we've got to be able to do is to have customized sectors and cables. So we've initiated that development, and then we've also, as part of the department, are developing a service charter and the service delivery improvement plan. The next slide, Chair, and we've in order to support the provinces, we've implemented a project readiness matrix, because one of the things that we, just to alleviate the risk, is that a lot of provinces put in a lot of projects, and these projects are not ready in terms of the ability to meet their targets. So you'll find the project finds its way into the business plan of the Human Settlement Development Plan, and it doesn't find traction. We've also developed a framework to assess the readiness of municipalities to deliver on mega projects, and that's the catalytic and mega projects. And then we've continued with developing policy that we've required, and there's a whole range of them. And then we've also mobilized stakeholders to participate, in particularly in Nelson Mandela Bay intervention. And then the last point on that is, as committee members will know, that there was the Habitat 3 conference that was held in the course of last year, and South Africa participated through the department on that. We also, on the next slide, Chair, just indicate some of the institutional issues. So the NHBRC, we focused on improving institutional capacity and coordination. The department still has a technical capacity unit in which we provide funding four students who are then contracted after that to provincial departments to improve the capacity. There was focus that was put on processing payable and valid invoices within 30 days. So you will see that that is a finding that has not repeated itself in our audit. And just in relation to this shed, we've also put in place a monitoring mechanism where we, on a monthly basis, monitor the provinces in terms of payment of invoices and contractors. So at any one stage, either from members of parliament or if we get requests, we can give you real-time information of which contractors are outstanding, in which province, and what the amount is. And then also in relation to that, we've just tried to summarize these ones so that the committee gets an idea of where we're at. So the impact, which has been a key issue from the presidency and DPME, particularly in raising issues of improving governance in the departments as well. Chair, the next slide will just give you an indication of the achievements in communication and consumer education. And Chair, this has been, so one of the things that the department's taken very seriously is the criticism. So there is a substantial amount of work that gets done, but it doesn't get communicated, it doesn't get put out to be able to do that. But there's also the issue around communication to particularly those households that we impact. So what we have done, Chair, is there's been a reactivation of the Breaking New Ground series on SABC2, and we've been able to achieve 2 million viewers, so that's the estimate. And then on radio, we've partnered with SABC, private stations, community media, and that includes so particularly on consumer education. Chair, I won't go through the entire one there, but it is there for members of the committee to follow our members to interrogate that. Chair, one of the things that we have done is that particularly committee members will know that we ring-fenced an amount in the mining towns, and there's 22 of them, and we focus particularly on the informal settlements. So for the period until the 31st of March, there's been 56 informal settlements in Category A that received full upgrading. There's 118 informal settlements in Category B that received interim basic services. 58 settlements in the category, and the categories, Chair, is in relation to either full, where a settlement can be fully upgraded. Category B1 is where we can provide it with interim services pending location or de-densification. And then the category B2 is where the settlement can't be upgraded in the area it is but needs to be relocated. So pending that relocation, we then provide the community and household with emergency services. So a total of 338 projects have been implemented in mining towns with focusing on informal settlements, but also there's transformational plans. So for the period from the 2014-15 to now, 187,501 sites have been serviced with water and sanitation and title deeds. And then 265,271 units were completed. That's PNG units. Chair, on the slide there, you'll see one of the things that the committee did ask us was to outline which are those project partnerships that we've got with mining towns. So we indicate to members, so we've got partnerships with Lonmin, Anglo Plat, Norplats, Royal Bafokeng, West Sizwe. Chair, what we are at the process together with Mineral Resources and DPME is that one of the things that government needs to address is the ability to ensure that mining companies meet their requirements. Because one of the things that we find, and I think it was there was a study tour that was undertaken by GPME, and one of the things that they informed us is that in other countries, so if you take Australia, mining companies provide five-star accommodation, and I say, you know, to their mine workers. But in South Africa, one of the things that we're having to address is that government has to assume the burden of providing this. So in relation to these project partnerships within mining towns, the focus is to ensure that there's a balance between what government invests and what the mining company invests. So I'll give you an example. In the case of Rustenburg, we had a donation, and I'm just going to give you an example of the Lundman example, where there was a donation of land, and that land was valued at 10 million. But government's investment in that up till now is probably 170 million. So you'll see the variance or the inability for us to be able to do that. So in all of these ones, and these are particularly in either the northwest parts of Limpopo, and to a certain extent some of the other areas. But I think the one good example that we can point to is the Royal Buffalo King model that's been introduced in Rustenburg, Chen, and I think it's maybe early next year. I think it would be one of those things, particularly at a provincial level, for us to be able to sort of present that, so we can use it as a gauge to ensure what is good practice. The summary of the targets, Chair, we thought we'd be we're raising this issue. The policy and delivery targets not achieved include the title deeds restoration program, the households in informal settlements, the subsidy housing units delivered, affordable rental, hectares of land rezoned, the draft white paper, and the physical integration of the development finance institutions and the master spatial plan. The operational compliance targets, we give an indication around the audit plan, the anti-fraud, the human resources implementation plan. And Chair, we must just indicate one of the reasons why we've not been able to achieve our human resources implementation plan, and this is particularly in relation to the filling of vacancies, is that we've had to, as a department, manage the fact that we've received a substantial amount of curtailment to our budget. So the department, just in this current term of office, our budget's been curtailed by, our capital budget's been curtailed by approximately 3 billion, and then we've lost probably about 100 million on our operational budget. So those are cuts that we've received, and we've had to sort of then readjust the department's workings in relation to that. Chair, I'll go through just the points here around the question of the annual performance targets and actual performance on administration. We give an indication of that, and that is in the annual report. And I'll go to the ones that are there. So we also give an indication of what the targets are in relation to the legislation, the policy and planning, and then in delivery. So in the delivery, we give an indication of which are those targets and what we've achieved. So for example, in relation to PHP, where we've been able to deliver 8,689 units in KZN, Mpumalanga, and the Northwest. And then we go through that. Chair, so you'll see we go through all of these and we give the indication of where we, so that issues are in the, and my apologies, Chair, we didn't number the slides. So we give an indication, Chair, and I'm trying to sort of make sure that we go through this so I don't get caught up with time, is that we give an indication of all the delivery targets. Chair, what you'll notice is that from the time that we started and the time that we got, one of the criticisms that we received both from the select committee as well as the portfolio committee is that it said that we, as the national department, we focus too much on internal stuff and not what the department was achieving. So you'll see in delivery, we've changed our APP and our annual performance, so it reflects the overall performance of the sector, including the provinces and the municipalities. Chair, I will then ask Mr. Mengu just to go through the departmental and expenditure annual report. And Chair, at the time that we come to the delivery and the annual report, we'll see it does cover some of the issues around that, and I'll amplify where we come to the splits in relation to the HSDG and the USDG, and I'll focus on the issues around the provinces. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first slide, Chairperson, which is slide number 19, gives the total appropriation for the 16-17 financial year. The total allocation, Chairperson, which you approved was 30.6 billion. And on this slide, Chairperson, it's split among the four programs of the department. Total expenditure amounted to 30.5 billion. You will notice, Chairperson, that in the last column, there is a slight error there, which indicates that the percentage spent is 100%. Actually, it's 99.6, Chairperson. We underspend by 0.4%, and the total amount of under expenditure is 109,125. You will notice, Chairperson, that the greater portion, or a bigger portion of the allocation is in Program 4. And that amount, Chairperson, is made up of mainly grants and transfer payments, grants which are transferred to provinces and municipalities, and transfer payments which are transferred to public entities reporting to the minister. Basically, Chairperson, the department runs on about 3% of the total budget, and 97% gets transferred to provinces, municipalities, and public entities. You will notice also, Chairperson, that on that slide, Program 3 is the last program in terms of expenditure. You will notice that it is sitting at 70% of 70% expenditure of its allocation. That under expenditure, Chairperson, is mainly due to mainly two issues. The first one being under expenditure on the NASP program, the National Upgrading Support Program, as well as under expenditure in relation to the human settlements subsidy system. On the next slide, Chairperson, we give a total picture of programs which are called financial interventions. These programs, Chairperson, are funded from the Human Settlement Development Fund. You will notice, Chairperson, that when you look at the actual expenditure, it's about 2.2 billion in total, which was actually spent on these programs. If you look at the projected outputs, the first two columns, Chairperson, split them in sites and units. you will notice that it's 2005 in the form of sites and 3,535 in the form of units. The actual projected outputs, other than these two, Chairperson, you will notice that there is a total projection of 43,283. The most important thing about this slide, Chairperson, is that most of these targets do not actually result into new outputs. If, for an example, you look at NHBRC enrollment, you will notice that there is 26 million spent in respect of NHBRC enrollment. Those are the enrollments you paid for in respect of units built. But the money itself does not necessarily mean that there is a new output. And if you also consider other ones, you will notice, Chairperson, that this is money spent, but it is not relating to actual houses built. On the next slide, Chairperson.
Before you move, can you repeat that? Can you repeat that you spend money, but you don't yield the actual new output? You have input, but there is no output.
I'll do that, Chairperson.
Maybe in a simpler language.
Yes. Let's go to the third column, Chairperson, which is titled Projected Outputs, Other.
Mm.
If you go down, you have Enhanced Extended Discount Benefit Scheme, 5.2 million. And that program is in respect of providing ownership to people who are staying in houses which were built prior to 1994.
Mm.
And the policy says these people must be given ownership.
Mm.
It's not a new house built. If you go down to Chairperson, State Asset Maintenance Program, these are old units built prior to 1994, but the province spends that money in maintaining them. It's money spent correctly, legally, but it is not in respect of a new unit produced. So that is what I mean.
Maintenance.
Yes, Chairperson.
For your department.
No, it is in respect of assets owned by the state, Chairperson. It may be rental housing, but it's units built prior, but which are, and the provinces use this money to maintain those units. So it's not a new unit built, but it's money used for the maintenance of those units.
Okay, we will come back during the question session.
The next slide, Chairperson, it actually explains what I just said, Chairperson. If you look on the second bullet, the total of 43,283 outputs was reported under financial interventions, and the outputs cannot be counted as new housing opportunities. It just summarizes what I've just said, Chairperson. If you go to the next slide, we look at expenditure by economic classification. It's the same expenditure, but it's actually given here by economic classification. It's the same allocation of 30.6 billion, but it indicates how it was spent by economic classification. You will notice, Chairperson, for an example, that in respect of compensation of employees, we spend 88.8 million,
88% of the allocation for compensation of employees, and in respect of goods and services is 89%. But on the overall, Chairperson, I just wanted to correct the 100% at the bottom is 96.4%. It's just the rounding. But the actual figure, the actual percentage is 99.6%. The next slide, Chairperson, gives a picture of transfer payments. It takes all the transfer payments, the 97%, the biggest portion, and then it indicates what happened to that portion, that 97% portion of the allocation. You will notice, Chairperson, that the first two grants, which are the biggest, take the biggest chunk, the Human Settlement Development Grant and the Urban Settlement Development Grant, 100% of that allocation was transferred to provinces and municipalities. And then you then have transfer payments to public entities reporting to the minister. 100% of those allocations, those amounts, were transferred to the public entities. And when you look right at the bottom, Chairperson, you will notice that most of the allocation, most of the amounts which were actually allocated for these transfers were actually transferred, except for about two. The first one is the scholarship program, where we underspent by about 23%. We spent 77% of that amount. And what happened here, Chairperson, is that the department managed to sign an agreement with the CETA, and the CETA was willing to partner with the department during the year to fund the scholarship program. And as a result, some of the money had not been spent by the end of the financial year. On the next slide, Chairperson, the slide gives a total picture of how the Human Settlement Development Grant performed. The total allocation of the grant, as you see, Chairperson, is 18.2 billion. It's split and transferred to all the nine provinces. You will notice, Chairperson, that during the financial year, there were rollovers approved in respect of provinces who underspent in the previous financial year. And those rollovers amounted to 405,633,000. And that gives a total amount available for spending by provinces during the year at 18.639 billion. The department transferred 18.283 billion, and the provinces spent 18.336 billion. You will notice, Chairperson, that in respect of provinces, there is a column which gives an indication of percentage spending by province. Eastern Cape, for an example, spent 100% of its allocation. Free State spent 100% of its allocation. Gauteng spent 99%. KZN spent 100%. Limpopo spent 95%. Mpumalanga 99%. Northern Cape 98%. And Northwest 91%, and the Western Cape spent 90%. But when you take in total, Chairperson, you will notice that on the overall, the expenditure was sitting at 98% at the end of the financial year. I must indicate, Chairperson, that in respect of provinces who did not spend the whole allocation, they all requested, they applied to the National Treasury for a rollover during the current financial year. The next slide, Chairperson, gives an indication of the performance of the Urban Settlement Development Grant. This grant, Chairperson, is transferred to metros. The total allocation was 10.8 billion. There were rollovers from the previous financial year, which amounted to 298,947. Giving a total of 11.1 billion. The department transferred 10.8 billion, which was the total allocation for the current for the financial year. And by the end of the financial year, Metros had spent 5.9 billion. I must indicate, Chairperson, here that as the committee is aware, the financial years for the national sphere of government runs differently from the local sphere of government. So with regards to Metros, they were on their third quarter when we closed the financial year. Hence, you will notice, Chairperson, that the level of expenditure is quite low in respect of this particular grant. I would move, Chairperson, to the audit outcomes. I don't know whether Mr. Cheney would like to deal with the performance, non-financial performance on the slide. With regards to the audit outcome, Chairperson, the department achieved an unqualified audit opinion. There were findings in respect of compliance and performance information. There was an emphasis of matter which related to restatement of figures in relation to prior financial year. What happened here, Chairperson, is that during 2014-15, the department was allocated an amount of 230 million. And the intention was that this amount be used to capitalize the NHFC. But when we then transferred the amount and reported it on the annual report, we reported it as a transfer payment and not as a capitalization amount. And the Auditor General, National Treasury, during last year, changed their reporting process that when you transfer an amount of money to a public entity to recapitalize the public entity, you must report it differently than when you transfer it as an ordinary transfer payment. So the finding from the AG was that we should have reported it as a capitalization, not as a transfer grant. So the figures had to be restated on the financial statements. And that was the main finding they raised with the department. The other emphasis of matter, Chairperson, was in respect of the target deeds backlog. The finding the Auditor General raised was that as much as this work is done by provinces and municipalities, they expected the department to have all the supporting documentation in respect of the transfer and the registration of title deeds. And unfortunately, at that time, we did not have all the supporting documentation except the reports from the other spheres of government. So they raised that as a finding. The last item, Chairperson, is in respect of fruitless expenditure, which the Auditor General highlighted, which was actually highlighted on the Auditor General's report. We reported fruitless expenditure, Chairperson, as indicated on the report, and unfortunately, the Auditor General highlighted it, and you will notice, Chairperson, that there were about three amounts which relate to this particular item. The Auditor General highlighted it as an emphasis of matter on the audit report. What we have done, Chairperson, as the department, is that we have developed an action plan to address all the findings raised by the Auditor General. And what we have also done, Chairperson, we have tabled the action plan before the audit committee of the department, and we have also submitted it to the Office of the Auditor General. The audit committee has had a look at it, and they have requested that it be tabled in every meeting of the audit committee, and they will be monitoring it during the financial year. With regards to the performance information, Chairperson, the department has agreed with the Auditor General that we had a discussion with them on the particularly on the importance of customized sector indicators. And the department has committed that we will have to develop customized sector indicators, which will be used to assess the alignment of plans to the MTF priorities. And I must indicate also, Chairperson, that these customized sector indicators will be of critical importance in assessing the performance of all provinces and municipalities. I'll hand over to Mr. Cheney, Chairperson, to conclude.
Okay.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Members, Chair, I just want to refer, and I've asked Milila just to bring copies in case they want, of page 58 of the annual report, with your permission, Chair. Chair, the reason I do so, Chair, is the tables on page 58 gives an indication of the concrete deliverables in terms of outputs and targets of the provinces. So you'll see, Chair, the first three columns, it's service sites, the annual delivery targets were service sites, stop structure, delivery targets. So the delivery targets, the total delivery targets for the entire sector for all nine provinces was 175,378. However, the total delivery performance, Chair, of the sector was 147, so we didn't meet that target. Chair, as I indicated, in relation to the points that I've raised, that there's been overlaps, and I think it's just important we raise this with honourable members and Chair, so that we can understand some of the issues, because we still have to present our second quarter to yourselves for this financial year. So you'll see, Chair, as indicated, the Eastern Cape, for example, their total delivery targets was 22,834, and they managed the total delivery performance of 22,399. And in many respects, Chair, that difference of about 400, in performance terms and in terms of audit terms, is something you can live with. But then you look at, for example, the Free State, Chair. You sit in with the total delivery targets of 12,475, and they managed to deliver only 6,000. So they missed their target by approximately 50%. You take Gauteng, their delivery target was 34, and they managed to deliver 24. But then you look at, for example, KZN, Chair, and I'll explain this. So KZN said that they would deliver 30,000 units, and they managed to deliver 28,931. Chair, the reason for that differential is because some of the units that were delivered as part of the KZN was part of their rectification of the R293. Chair, I'm going to raise this one here. So, for example, if you look at Limpopo, the delivery target was 13,290, and they managed 14,594. Mpumalanga, delivery target was 18, they delivered 11, and as we go through, so you'll see, for example, the Northwest, their target was 20,000, and they delivered approximately 15. So, Chair, this gives you an indication of where the flaws are. And there's been some regression, Chair, so, and there's been some improvement. So as part of our process going forward, and in this intermediate time between the publication of the annual report or the figures and now, Chair, we can report, Chair, that the Free State, Gauteng, Limpopo, and the Northwest are still in ICU. I could say that. Whereas, for example, Chair, we've seen a remarkable process. So without wanting to sort of gloss over it, Mpumalanga, although they for that period there was a regression of progress, we can and we'll demonstrate that in the first and second quarter report that there's been remarkable progress in terms of turnaround. So Chair, that gives an indication just of what the money was in terms of what we presented earlier and what the provinces were able to. So you'll see it gives the variances, it gives the performance, and then it gives. So in many respects, Chair, it's not something that we said we want to gloss over, and hence we decided we'd refer members of honorable members to this because it does represent something that's in. Chair, in the following pages up until page 79, Chair, we go through the 8 metropolitan municipalities. And again, Chair, I mean if we have to indicate and give an indication and members would have to do that, the top performing municipality is Itekwini. And they continue to do that. Followed by Nelson Mandela. The municipalities, the metropolitan municipalities where we provide the urban settlements development grant. So if you go to page 64, we give an indication of Buffalo City and what they said they would achieve, and their performance, Chair, as we can indicate, is satisfactory. On page 66, Nelson Mandela Bay, also satisfactory. Chair, the two municipalities that we raised issues was on page 70, which is Ekurhuleni, and particularly in relation to the fact that if members are referred to slides, it's the slide on the Urban Settlements Development Grant, you'll see, Chair, that Ekurhuleni, for the period, were unable to spend their entire amount, and there was a rollover that was requested. What was it? About 299 million. So it was rejected. In the case of City of Cape Town, it was 145, and that was that. So the Cape Town didn't spend their money. Ekurhuleni didn't spend their money. Whereas with the other metros, they did very well. And with your permission, without wanting to dictate your agenda, Chair, I think it's important that we come back to you so that we give you an indication of what has happened during this course of the year, because there's been an overlap between that period of performance. And some of the provinces have regressed, as we've indicated, from what happened last year as part of this annual report and what is occurred here. But without wanting to create a situation of a crisis, I think there are interventions that we've undertaken. So the same thing, for example, with the City of Johannesburg. The City of Johannesburg, when their books closed this year, they had requested a rollover 366. Mm-hmm. So the reason I'm raising this issue, Chair, is that when the annual report for the metropolitan municipalities closed, it was the 31st of March, and there was still one quarter left for them to spend. And in that one quarter, the City of Joburg, the City of Cape Town, and Ekurhuleni USDG. And the reason I raise this, Chair, is because the USDG is one of those grants, particularly in the metropolitan municipalities, where we've raised the issue that it is one of those grants that goes towards the informal settlements upgrading. Chair, and then, I mean, I think so if you go to page 76, for example, Chair, you'll see, for example, and this is one of the reasons why we said, you know, if you look at it, Tekwini, it continues to perform optimally in terms of its provision of services, particularly to poor households, and its ability to be able to develop those stands. So if you look at the numbers, it's been substantial that we've been able to achieve. Chair, I've run over time, but I've got my apologies for that, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you very much for the presentation. I'm sure members have noticed that what I wanted to raise is that we seem to be using two documents for one presentation instead of having one presentation informed by the annual report. Members, can I open for you your inputs and questions on the presentation? Honorable Zwane, Honorable Kaola, Honorable Mpuru.
I was saying, Chairperson, that we do welcome the presentation by the Department of Human Settlements, and we are aware of the challenges of not adhering to the targets that they have set for themselves, and we just hope that they've got mechanisms in place to ensure that there is improvement come the next time they engage with the Select Committee on Human Settlements. I was looking at the performance, firstly, maybe let me refer to that one, of the metros. I'm sure they've got accreditation. They are not dependent on the services that have been accorded accreditation, and are able to leave houses in their own right as metros. But when I look at your presentation now, not the book, your presentation, at that slide, I don't know what number it is, but where you've listed their performance and they've indicated the percentages of funds that have not been spent. Or that one, yeah. I was looking at Nelson Mandela Bay, the level of the amount of money that was unspent is not acceptable. There's something wrong somewhere that you need to correct as a department. Because we can't give money to support states, to metros, and they can't spend. Why is it that they cannot spend? Because there's planning involved before expenditure. Now, where is the bottleneck? I see clarity in that regard as to where is the bottleneck? Is it poor planning, or is it lack of human resource to roll out the units that the people need so much? You look at Eguruleni, percentage of money unspent, 56.9%. That is too big a percentage of monies that were not spent. Yet people are waiting for units. People are living in shacks. They are waiting on government to roll out the offer. Metros are not delivering. Money is there. It goes back to the little fiscus or whatever happens when people are waiting. Look at City of Tshwane. Tekwini. You are saying Tekwini did well. If there's 54.6% of money that's spent, that's a good thing to me. It's not just that. and Cape Town. Those are the issues I wanted to raise with regards to Metro as to what extent do you monitor what they do, notwithstanding the fact that they've got accreditation, but you still have to conduct some monitoring to ensure that the monies that we give out are used for the people. And then on the slide of departmental expenditures, item number 3 or program 3, delivery support, 70% of expenditure. I don't know, maybe you can re-clarify the reasons why you did not spend that amount to the expected level. Payment of capital assets. The next, that slide is expenditure by economical classification. Payment of capital assets, 25% spent. I see clarity. Why is it that it was not spendable if there is a word like that? And then on page 23 of the slides again, where you say Mangosuthu University of Technology. Mangosuthu University of Technology, what was happening there? What were you using the money for in that University of Technology? I just declared. And then this UN Habitat, is it used for certain specific units? Or is it, I don't know how to use it, that money that is UN Habitat. And I did not see Chaperson, not unless I missed it, the units for war veterans. I didn't hear anything about it, not unless I missed it. In all the provinces where this is supposed to be rolled out, I didn't see hear anything about the houses for war veterans. Chaperson, I think for now, let me stop there.
Okay. Thank you, Rizwan. Honorable Kaula.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Human Resources Manager. Of course, some of the issues presented today are very confusing until you get to the explanation. Some of them are in writing, but some of them are just sentences that were explaining what was happening, like the one that was confusing that the Honorable Zwane is talking about, where you explain that the municipalities killed their poop in June, but the report you have here is when you closed your poop in March. Now, to us, the expenditure is at the 60s and the 50s. But when they closed their book, it was another story. I think it's important that when you give these presentations, you also give that picture to say when you closed your books in March, this was what was pertaining. And when they closed their books in June, this was then the total picture. I'm not sure if that is presented yet. But it will help, Chaperson, if we can get it in that time. Even at the beginning, some of the things you are saying here, really, they are very confusing. The other thing, Chair, being that, you know, this is the expenditure for 16-17, which is not the plans you presented to us this year. It's the plans that were presented to us last year. So it's really very confusing. But I'm interested in just a few issues. I think it's on the second page where you are talking about developing a framework to assess the readiness. I was looking at all this developing, what developing the bodies. Why now? You're saying that from when we started in 1994, we are only developing the policy for human settlements now. Because that is what that report is saying, developing the policy for human settlements. hoping this framework to assess the readiness of municipalities to deliver mega projects, mobilizing stakeholders to participate, particularly in Nelson Mandela, the intervention. Just want clarity there. What has been happening all along, if you are saying you are beginning just now to develop those policies? The next slide talks about a significant number of students. Can we maybe move away from significant, and if you can just give us details, not significant. Significant does not clarify as to how far you went. The next one, there's a slide that talks of a total of 338 projects that have been implemented in municipalities with mining camps. Now, it's confusing to me, Chairperson, because if I recall, mining towns are not more than 20. They have been fighting this fight with the minister, both here at the committee and in the house. I don't understand 338 projects in not more than 20 municipalities. Can you clarify this to me? What does it mean? Because mining towns are very few, but the projects are 338. That's a hell of a lot to end up with each city having a project in the country. You also say on your annual targets and the actual performance, implementation of the approved audit plan not achieved, reason capacity constraints. When you set this target, did you not know that you had capacity constraints? Because you really give a reason to me which is just not convincing, because the target was set by you and you knew your capacity when you set the target. And then on your annual performance plan targets and actual performance, all those pages, to me they reflect my underachievement. I'm an annual target, 175,000 households upgraded to phase two, actual 75,000. Annual target, 115,000 subsidy housing opportunities provided, actual 90,000. Annual target, 3,700 affordable rental opportunities delivered, actual. Well, that one appears it's an overachievement of some sort, because the actual is 5,000. But in most instances, your annual targets, your actual are very, very less as compared to your annual targets. I really don't understand what is happening. I also need clarity, Chair, on that one. Well, the other ones, I've taken them off because the later one has given me an explanation on the things I wanted clarity on, because I was going to question the Deputy Minister was talking about Western Cape, City of Cape Town not delivering, but here the Western Cape is uploaded as delivering. But then the latter explanation on this one has explained what is happening. So I think I've got clarity on that one, Chair. My last one, the Urban Settlement Development Grant, where there are these three cities, Joburg, Ekurhuleni, and the City of Cape Town, that are underachieving. Is it not time, Department, that you reconsider this? We have always been appealing. Can you reconsider this when you budget, so that you spread it even to the other cities that are not metros? Because it is not the first time that you are reporting underperformance. But when you do your budget again next year, you'll be sidelining the other cities, giving this money only to the mega cities, the metros. When you come to report at the end of the year next year, you'll be reporting another underachievement. When are you going to begin to listen to us and spread this cake, at least even to the aspirant metros, so that we move away from this devil of underachievement? because they are going to underachieve again. There is going to be no improvement. This underachievement is going to be an albatross around us, right through, until we begin to say, this is too much for you, we take some of it, we give to others. Because imjondolo ayikho kuma mega cities kuphela. Imjondolo is all over. At least can you consider the aspirant metros? There are three aspirant metros in KwaZulu-Natal. They are not benefiting from this. Richards Bay, Newcastle, Pietermaritzburg. The only city that is benefiting is Etheby. I've always been arguing, Chair, that this is really just not fair. KwaZulu-Natal, one metro. The population, second to Gauteng. Eastern Cape, three metros or what, I mean, two or three. Population, third in the country. But when it comes to the cake, the big slice goes to Eastern Cape. KwaZulu-Natal, just a week, just because we have one metro. Reconsider this one. CFO, reconsider this one. I'm trying to help you. If you don't, you'll report underachievement again next year in November. Nail sprays, they are not a metro. They get nothing. Imjondolo, Inqaba. When are they going to begin to get a slice from this one to deal with Imjondolo and Nail sprays? Please just go back to your whatever posterous and talk about this thing. It's an issue to us. It is an issue. You are disadvantaging the cities in the provinces that we come from. Just because of this principle of saying only to the metros, it is a disadvantage. Thank you, sir.
Honorable
Zwane. Thank you, sir. Oh, thank you, ma'am. Normally, do not agree with the Kapisa, but on this issue that he has raised at the end of his input, you really do agree on that one, because year after year, there is underachievement. It's very, very important. Reconsider and work out your plans. And also in terms of the formula that you use to allocate, and consider those cities that are aspirant as well. Chairperson, it was just two issues. The issue of rezoning. I can see in terms of your presentation, you have outdone the target on acquisition of land, the amount of hectares that you wanted to acquire. You acquired three times more than what you planned. That is very good. But I'm worried about the slow progress on the process of rezoning. I know it's not directly the responsibility of the department, but what mechanisms are there to ensure that you sit on local government to ensure that zoning for the building of houses is expedited? People are waiting. And then the other issue, Chair, the last one, is the issue of police. The numbers are very low. Very, very low. Your target was 3,137. What we've achieved is 3,689. Why is it that the numbers are so low? Is it because they are not incurred? Or is it funding constraints? What is it? Please just give us an explanation, because I think in this category there are so many people that are looking for houses, and yet the allocation is very, very low. Can you explain that one to me, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Well, hi, Clive. Man, I'm getting more confused. I'm covered by both honorable members. First to say, Chairperson, that maybe when they come again, they'll give us something that is accurate and relevant, because the issue of overperformance and underperformance to me is confusing, because you can't plan and fail to do what you're supposed to do. I think maybe Chairperson, the national departments need to come up with a plan
more especially on the issue of grants that they transfer to provinces, because you give provinces these allocations, at the end of the day, you don't follow your money. I think CFO is important. You cannot come here and always complain about the money that you send to provinces, nothing's happening. On the issue of allocations, whereby the provinces get a chunk of the cake better than others, without considering the population, Honorable Kaul is correct. I'm from Limpopo, but I once complained when Minister Mthambi was still responsible for communications. I said, it can't be correct for the ministers to have the programs that are mostly focusing on Limpopo. Nonetheless, she comes from Limpopo, but by the look of things, wherever a minister comes from, it's always the case, the chunk of the money will go there. You can check all of them. It's a fact. But it doesn't mean whatever you must deny or punish other provinces for the sake of Nagel Mambur. I come from Limpopo. It means that the chunk of the money must go to Limpopo. It can't be. I agree you're a minister of the Republic of South Africa. You are not a minister of Limpopo. You need to consider that. When your ministers are able, maybe programs are on the table, CFO, you must raise these things, because the statistics South Africa is not there just for fun. They are informing us which province is here. Whether you deliver or you don't deliver, but it must inform you. We are a very growing nation, and you must also check which province has the potential to grow economically. Like where I come from, you go to Masin, it's all shacks there. If you ask, you don't know what's happening. De Beers mining there, what is the problem? Are you not able to make an agreement with De Beers maybe to assist there and there? You go to Tubasi, where I come from. Everybody's flocking to Amasha Mtane. That is the area next to Beggars Falls, to Border Soup. Everybody's flocking that side. They're leaving their houses. Hence, you have a challenge of backlogs, because you no longer know who is responsible for this household. You always talk about this title, this backlog, because you don't follow the movement of people. You are a national department, but who must assist you? Is it the province? Is it the municipality? So the municipality is not assisting, but you must identify maybe some of your personnel to follow whatever you're doing in the province. I think in that regard, maybe you'll be able to say we are plotting when you present your report, because you'll be known, you've done something that you are seeing. You go to Sishio, everybody's there in Polokwane. The issue of integration, I don't know how you're going to manage it at the end of the day with all the budget that you are, the grants that you're pouring in the province. It's a problem. Number two is the issue of cabinet reshuffles. That one also poses a challenge to what you want to achieve at the end of the day. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but maybe it warrants a chairperson to say each and every province after its reshuffle. I'm just suggesting maybe the national department must have a meeting with the provincial department to say, because we're here, how are we going to move on with regard to the following? Because it's normal. When somebody gets in, this person will say, no, I'm still engaging different officials. This is 6 months will go down the line. What, a year will go down the line without even achieving anything. I think maybe there just needs to be some balance between the national department and the province. Because I suppose you go to Limpopo province, MEC Makoma Makrut budget could utilize the budget. You can see she has overperformed. What is that? It's overperformance, but where did she get the money to overperform, to go beyond the set target? Where did she get that money? It's questionable. We must ask that, how did you manage to do this? It means another project has suffered. You see, now the new MEC is in place. What are we going to do? May not to me, it's something that we need to chairperson. That is the least that can say, because it's only a committee. No questions from me. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm also confused today. I'm not sure whether I'm confused or lost, but something is not right with me. Let me also welcome the presentation from the department. Maybe I should request that we rework on the report.
Not to this one, because this one has been passed. I mean the presentation to the committee. Include what members are saying. You also said that the different reporting periods between the spheres of government is not the same. Include end of June, because if you're saying for municipalities it was, they were at the third quarter, they were supposed to be at 75% of their performance. Some are at 30%. But we don't want to guess, we want to be factual. If you could rework on the report, include the actual performance by the end of their financial year, so that we have a true picture on what happened in the municipality. But also, in your own report, you see, what you are showing us on the annual report is what we want, but put it in your presentation. Don't want to read from different documents. Put it in one document. Say, this was the target for this. This is what has been achieved. This is the money that was budgeted. This is the money that has been spent. Because we have a lot of non-achievement. Yes, we do have achievements. But in terms of your expenditure, we are sitting at 99.6. CFO, 99.6. Yeah. Does it mean that if you had achieved all your targets, were you going to overspend? Were you going to overspend? Because if you compare what has not been achieved and the remaining money, you'll agree with me that that money was not going to be enough for the work that has not been done. So what I'm proposing, that rework on the report, give us target and give us the actual achievement, non-achievement, money, budget, and money actual expenditure, so that we have a clear picture on what happened in all the areas and in provinces as well. In addition to that, I know it's a very overloaded report. Compare it in 3 years, so that we can see that we progress or not. Because if you report in 1 year, we are not able to see. Indicate that in this year, this was the performance. They do that other departments. They will indicate to us, this is how we perform in this year, this is how we perform in this year, this is where we are in this financial, in this particular year. So that you can see if the department is progressing or regressing. That will be my request. Work on that report. Send it to us. We may request that you come back, but send the report. Can we agree on 2 weeks?
Thank you, Chair. We will do that, Chair.
All right. Okay. In terms of my inputs, let me start with the last input by Honorable Kaula and Honorable Zwane. All members will remember that this one is not a negotiation. When they presented their plan for this financial year, we said if they come back now, next year, we're not going to support the budget. That's what we said. Because we've been talking about this USDG since 2014. Now is 2017, end of 2017, we're going to 2018. We said early this year, just to remind you, if you have
supported.
Yeah, we said we're not going to support your budget. If you come back and the 17, there are 17 secondary cities, you call them... There are 17, if I'm not mistaken. That includes your Mbombela's, your Rustenburg, your Maritzburg, your Polokwane. There are almost 17 of them. Because the question I'm asking myself, why are these metros underspending? Do they need this money? Maybe you give money to people who don't need it. They can't underspend every year. I think they do have the capacity to spend. But do they need this money? Or you give those who have and leave those who really need the money without anything to upgrade their infrastructure.
you may as well want to find go deeper and find the reasons why. You may find that they're underspending from your budget, but also on your on their own budget, they are underspending because you are not accounting for their budget. What is happening with their own? If you go to the Metro's report, you'll find that in their own infrastructure budget, they're underspending because they have enough money. City of Joburg. What is the reason? I know Treasury is behind this, but they can't just decide without you requesting them. National Treasury depends on departments. You might have requested National Treasury. But we said early this year, just reminding you, we're not going to support. Don't be surprised when you come and we don't support you. We are not going to support the budget. This is an official meeting that where I'm speaking this. We said we're not going to support you if you have not spread this money to these other secondary cities who need it more than the metros. I agree with Honorable Mampuwe, underspending or underachieving or overachieving is a problem, because the question in under overachievement, I was asking myself, where did they get that money? I know there was an arrangement in the department that if you overperform, and there's a province that is underperforming, Honorable Kaula, because I attended one or two of their meetings, you will take money from this province and give this province. My question from the minister in that meeting was that, what do you call this thing that you're doing? It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable because the day I attended that meeting, Free State, as well, not Eastern Cape, and I can't remember the other province, were overspending, and they were still left with two quarters of the year, with an understanding that they'll get money from underperforming provinces. And in that meeting, all provinces were spending. So what? Not sustainable, but at the same time, which law or policy are you using to do that? I don't know. But my take is that overachieving will like it very much, but where do you get money for that? Maybe that is why you have spent 99% of your budget, but less achievement. It could be the reason. I don't know what are your reasons for that expenditure. We were in military veterans. I agree. I'm not sure. I might have missed it. It could be in the annual report. But in the presentation, I missed it. What is happening with that program? We've been to Free State. We've been to Northern Cape. I really do consider the standardization of the houses. It will create a problem for the country. If we decide, I don't mind us giving them houses like Free State. They're not ordinary people. We have a reason why we give them those houses. But you can't give the houses we saw in Free State, the houses we saw in the Northern Cape, versus the houses in Free State. How do you justify? Are you saying those who are in the Free State, they contributed more than those from other provinces? They do meet, they talk. That is one thing. The second measure, Northern Cape, it was very much painful. Those people are really suffering. They are requesting that where there are houses, give them that work to do it. Because they were saying to me when I was there, to us when we were there, they were saying, we have houses now, but how are we going to pay for the services? Because and rates and taxes and services, because we're not working. They even requested that in your rental stock houses, where there is a need for security guards, appoint them, because that is where they are trained on security measures. So consider that. It's not a matter of just dumping a house and say, see, you're on your own. because there's life beyond the house. If there's a way of assisting them, let's do that. But the important thing is standardization. There's also a lot of houses occupied, illegally occupied by the military veterans. We must ask ourselves why KwaZulu-Natal is a matter. Let's try and fast track the process of giving them those houses. I don't know how we're going to fast track, because Mina, if you're still talking about houses, I mean a backlog of title deeds of houses pre-1994, then I don't know what it takes to give a title deed. 20 years, over 20 years. I don't know how you plan, how you prioritize, but it just doesn't make sense to me. There is, honorable members, you may not know this, I know it because I'm attending a course which is supported by the department. You are aware of it because we spoke about it here. It's just members did not have time to attend. There are bazaars that are funded. The department has engaged Nelson Mandela to have a course on, what is the title of the course? The degree course. Yeah. For young graduates. They've targeted children from poor families, very poor families who really need houses, some of them with houses but they are cracked, the houses, some of them are living in bad conditions. And members in that course were allowed to identify a child to sponsor from their constituencies. It is my request that we accommodate members in this committee, because people who are attending that course are people from the NA, from the portfolio committee only, and people from other committees in the NA. From the NSOP, I'm the only person attending there. I feel it is not fair. I am requesting that we accommodate members. I requested from the professor that not one child. I don't know what members are saying. I don't know if you understand members. Gunepaza, which is sponsored by the department. For example, from your constituency, Honorable Kawula, you identify two children from very poor families who have passed matric, but they don't have money to go to school, who will be dealing a course that has to do with human settlement, built environment. It's a 4-year degree. They pay everything.
Oh, what's the amount?
No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, it's
possible for them to apply.
Come again? No, they gave them application forms. It's like if they agree with us, they will get application forms from Nelson Mandela. We go to our constituencies and identify those two, because me, one is not, Mpumalanga is very poor. One is not enough. So, Fiona is laughing. So they give you phone application forms.
What I'm interpreting is the applications into the universities. Is it only one university offering, or
is an agreement with Nelson Mandela
only?
They pay even for accommodation. They pay everything.
I mean, if we get the forms now, can they still be admitted?
We'll negotiate with the university. The professor who is responsible for the course are the one who are teaching in that course. I'm talking about the same professors. So I'm negotiating.
Next week.
No, I'm still negotiating. They must go. That is the problem of not having a minister, because she was going to take a decision now.
Mm-hmm.
We are requesting as a committee, late applications are done everywhere. We are requesting, I'm requesting for two per member. Just think of KwaZulu-Natal. Hey, they'll get four.
Very
Limpopo. And Mpumalanga, very poor provinces. So I'm requesting that per member, we're requesting two per member.
Chiano, I think, might be more responsible for that. You have to speak to them. Can we, I strongly feel that is not fair because all members of this committee are not attending and it was said in that court, not in committee. So I'm requesting that we be accommodated on that one. The issue of the metros who are not performing, let's take for example, in Nelson Mandela Metro, underperforming. You have Eastern Cape as a province overspending. How do you balance the two? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Nelson Mandela as a metro, I have two questions. Are you still in there or they are doing it on their own? Because I remember last time it was an intervention by the national department. Are you still there? The second thing is that How do you deal with a situation where you have a metro that is underperforming, but the province in general is overspending? You must also consider your approved units from different provinces versus approved beneficiaries, because you don't just build houses; you build houses for the people. Then the last one is a question. It's a question about, or it's the second last. The issue we're talking about is that you spend money but there is no output. I don't know. Maybe it depends on how you capture your indicator. What is it that you want to achieve? Because that is your output. Let me take Irentastop for example. We talked about maintenance. You don't just maintain those houses for the sake of maintaining. Angithi, those houses are making money. They're making money. That is an output for me. It's an output. You must be able to say, we spend so much money for maintenance in this rental stock, but this is how much money is it making. I know it's not under your department. It's done by the municipalities, but you can't be able to say there is value for money, not just maintaining without getting the output. The old houses as well, you were saying it's not a new structure, but what was the purpose of doing it? It's for a type of deed. That is an output for me. It depends on how you coin your indicators. But the way it states, you are saying it, you see it as a no output, but for me, I see output depending on what you said was your target. Why do you do it? Okay, it's not a question, I'm just making an input on that one. I see it as maybe is the manner in which you captured your indicators. With that, let me leave it to you. I don't know whether you want to respond on some of the issues, but I would want you to speak on the bursaries because we have requested that you rework on the report and bring a report back. You may want to, I don't know, members, if there's something urgent, but lay a bursary, give me it's urgent. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, thanks for those comments and questions, Chair. What I don't want to do is to preempt the report. I think members have given quite a broad understanding of what we need to do and where the deficiencies are in the report. So we'll provide that report, Chair. But in addition to that, I think what we will do, Chair, is provide you with a presentation or a report on the military veterans per province in relation to what has been delivered. Mr. Gianna is the program manager for that. Chair, we will also then provide yourself together with honorable members with the request on where those 338 projects are in the mining towns that was referred to by honorable Kole. The reason I'm saying this, Chair, is that in a town you might have five or six projects, and that's what we. So if you take for example, Burgess Fort or Lepalale, there's not one informal settlement. There's a number of informal settlements, and there's also those projects where there's relocation. But I think what I can indicate, Chair, is that there is a detailed list of where those projects are across. So that's there, Chair. Chair, the other point which I just I thought we will address that in the points. Chair, in our first quarterly report, and we'll provide the committee with that, although I don't want to preempt the we do provide the, I mean, it has always been an issue that we that our report does not accurately reflect the closure of our financial year and alignment with the closure of the metropolitan year. And what happens, Chair, is that in that 3 months you find a spike. You know, they refer to it as the golf stick. So there is a substantial exponential increase in that. But I think the report will provide members with clear indications of what the expenditure was for the financial year, where the expenditure was, and what the deficiencies was. Because I think it is an issue. Chair, I think I just want to also raise the issue around the question where honourable members and yourself have raised the issue around the non-metro cities. Chair, apparently they're now called intermediate cities. Chair, we have taken not only what you said, but I think we're on the same page with you. That, in fact, the pressures for urbanization are a lot greater in some of the intermediate cities. So if you look at, for example, what's happening in parts of Burgess Fort, if you look at what's happening in Lepalale, Rustenburg, in fact, Rustenburg's the fastest growing urban center in the world.
Not Pombela.
Bomela somewhere in that top five, top six. But I think we share that. And we had a discussion, Chair, with National Treasury on the 10th of October, where we raised this issue around, because even Minister together with Minmec have in instances where there's been underperformance in the USDG requested that we move that money to a non-metro. And the fiscal framework does not allow this. And I think, Chair, it's a joint effort, because I think as parliamentarians and you have greater power than us, particularly in relation to the Select Committee on Appropriations, in relation to the design and the activation of new grants. Because that's what we've said. So there's what is called the local government review, which you might want to ask for a report on that, and it gives an indication of each of the departments. Because we have raised this issue, in fact, not only in relation to under expenditure, but for example, issues around emergency housing, issues around bulk infrastructure. So you'll see, Chair, in our grant framework for the Human Settlements Development Grant, we now allow 2% for those non-metro municipalities to provide bulk infrastructure. Because one of the big issues is that you find in a place like Msunduzi that they're able to build the houses, but there's no bulk, so they can't connect the water, they can't connect the sewer. So, Chair, I can assure you that we've taken up this matter. It's an issue, and as part of the allocation letter, we've submitted proposals on this to National Treasury. Chair, and they've indicated between ourselves, COCTA, DPME, and National Treasury, they will come back to us about the creation of this intermediate grant, because it'll be the mid. The Intermediate Cities Grant and the USDG. So there'll be that set of three local government infrastructure grants, as they call it, because it's a big issue, Chair. And it impacts on us. So if you look at some of the projects that occur in the Northwest, in Limpopo, parts of the Free State, as well as the Northern Cape, there's infrastructure issues. So if you look at what's happening in Kimberley. So Chair, I don't want the honourable members to think that we've disregarded that. We're taking that very seriously because it's an issue that we need to deal with. Chair, I think just the issue on under-expenditure in Program 3, which honourable members 1 has raised. Chair, we...
Before you pass on to this one, I wanted also to get the reasons why the metros find it difficult to spend. Is it capacity issues or is it for blaming issues?
Chair, it's poor planning and capacity, but it's also, you know, in some of the instances you've had changes of management, and in the current instance, with something which we find difficult to understand is, you know, metros have said, well, you know, post August 3, there's been changes, and you know that period they couldn't spend. But I think if you know, it's issues that we find we've said that we need to intervene because as part of the USDG, 3% of that can be utilized to improve capacity, to improve planning. So if you look at the USDG grant framework, we provide that frame, that ability. I think across the provinces, I think honourable members raised it, that you have these reshuffles, and you know the reshuffles don't only occur politically, but they also occur administratively. So if you look at, for example, Gauteng, the poor performance in Gauteng. Gauteng has had 5 heads of department in the space of 4 years. I think it would be wrong of us to say that instability doesn't impact on performance. It does. So the metro's underspending is also, for example, you'll see, Chair, when we submit that report on the USDG, that Joburg is now suffering from huge under expenditure. And there's issues around wanting to redo what the previous administration did, and I think those things are not helpful in many respects because it means that you can't appoint, you can't approve, and you can't implement. But in the case of the department on Program 3, where it was raised that we only spent 70%, Chair, under that program we've got the National Upgrading Support Program, and I think the department concedes that as part of the processes was that there was a slow procurement of some of the consultants because of our processes within the department because they're quite rigorous, and that delayed some of that so that's. It delayed some of the appointment and it delayed the expenditure. Chair, but we can indicate that during the course of this year we've seen an improvement on that. Chair, on the issue around Nelson Mandela, I think you've covered that. We have established a research chair in Nelson Mandela, and that's the program that they've given the degree. We've also, as part of MUT, Mangosuthu, we've established a research chair. Because one of the things that we find, particularly in relation to the current research, is that I think just like we raised the issues around metros and the focus on them, they are universities and they are universities of technology that do very good work. And particularly if you take, for example, Nelson Mandela, Mangosuthu. Mangosuthu have got what is called an indigenous human settlements focus, because and it feeds into the policy, and it feeds into our ability. So as part of the process of getting the university, also through the Mangosuthu University of Technology, we want to establish. A course or program that allows students to go in and be trained. but it's also so we've activated. So that's the money that's been spent on that. UN Habitat Chair, that is an amount that we spend or as part of our membership as South Africa. We're a member of the United Nations mm-hmm. Habitat, and we contribute. So there's a stipulated fee when we become members of those committees. Chair, I'm almost done. And I'll ask my colleagues just to add on the framework for policies. Chair, it's not like we don't have policies. What we've done as a department is if we evaluated 7 of those various areas and programs. So where there are deficiencies, or where there are failures, or where there has been inadequate response. So for example, the backyard policy. There's been the USDG policy. And the USDG policy, for example, we had to devise that policy so that we could support metropolitan municipalities in the way that they spend their USDG. Chair, I'll just ask my colleagues, Mr. Gianna and Mr. Mingham and Sinshu, if I've not covered those points.
Thank you, Chairperson and committee members. Just on the question of the standardization of a military veteran's house, the regulations are very specific what the house should be. And the standard is at 50 square meters. That's according to the Department of Military Veterans. Free State went out of its way to say they will add more money from the provincial kit to increase the house, and that's causing a problem. Limpopo went the same route. They said they were building 35 square meters, and it didn't work. They've now changed. I think they've signed a new order where they are going to the standard. Free State has not built a single house in the last 2 years. Because that top up is not going to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the creation of that problem is now being felt by those that are supposed to benefit. Mm-hmm. So everyone is now reverting back to the standard. So we may resolve that. Then you'll find in Mpumalanga, for example, there is a handover to Mpumalanga. There's an MEC called SPDG. It's very speedy. It's one province that's doing very well in military. We think we'll knock off the backlog of the 9,600 military veterans by the end of the financial year, only in one province, and that's Mpumalanga. And that's why my colleague Neville was saying earlier on, there is some level of increasing performance in Mpumalanga, which is working, and military veterans is going to be one. Just to emphasize again, military veterans was not uplifted as a program per se, but it is a project that has been uplifted. So it's not in the departmental program, that's why it's not reported as such. But because of the emphasis that's been placed on it, we will record on it as a separate program with a termination date. It must start and it must end. You have the population that's not increasing, so to speak. I thought I would emphasize on this. The students...
I'm waiting for that. I hear all this, what you're saying, but I'm waiting just for that.
Yeah. I was trying to divert that one, but I think Neville can answer on that one.
Okay.
Yeah, because the program itself, or the manager that's dealing with that program of education and so on, is reporting directly to him in terms of law and function. Maybe let me allow him to check on to that.
Chairperson, just one issue. I agree, Chairperson. The output is not necessarily the physical unit built. I agree. It's just that, Chairperson, in human settlements, we tend to focus on how many units have been built.
Yeah.
And another issue is that the tendency is to say, okay, you've spent so much money, and then divide it by the number of units built, and then say, oh, you spend so much per unit.
Mm.
It's just, we are trying to a reason for this is to say, no, no, don't take the number of units and divide it by the expenditure, because there is money spent which is not for just unit paid, but for a different kind of output. That's the purpose of it. But I agree to that.
Chair, on the issue of the buses, Chair, I will go back and we, I think the focus of the program, Chair, as you know, is that what we didn't want to do was to create a situation where, I think what we want to do with the program, and I think it's not something that we want to, and it's something that's doable, given if we get the money, and we're working with NSFAS together with LGCETA to increase that number of children that come from poor households, particularly to be able to focus on them. And I think the issue is that we're providing that full bursary, Chair, for a particular reason, because if you know that the Stats SA released the figures, that if you don't provide the full bursary, then you find a huge amount of dropout, particularly from students from poor households. And not because they're not interested, it's because in order to progress through university, you've got to be able to ensure that you feed yourself and your nutrition and your accommodation and those kind of things. Because in many respects what's happening is through the LGCETA, and that's why we've gone into this partnership with LGCETA, is that they cover half and we cover half. So Chair, what I will do is that I'll go back and I'll provide you with a written commitment in relation to what we can do through members and nominations of students. But it's something that we can do, Chair. But I'll just get the correct number of what we can do on that. Chair, and then in relation to the ability for members to form part of that course, Chair, that's not an issue. It's something that we can commit to. On the bursaries as well, Chair. I'll just get the correct number of what we can do and the number, Chair.
Want to add on that one? We have enough time for that.
Yeah, not this one.
Okay,
let's emphasis on the UN heading.
Yeah, let's conclude that one.
Okay, I'm just worried because we are going on recess as Parliament. Maybe seeing you for the last time today until next year, and universities are opening beginning of the year. If you'll come back without putting pressure, if we can have, I know it's a matter of a phone call, if you can do that within this week, and I will conscientize members. It's very important. It's a very good course, honorable members. It is. Very, very good.
One of us can.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mr.
Chair. Chairperson, you'll recall that around July we held a summit.
Mm.
And the summit was discussing the outcome of the resolutions which were taken in Quito of UN Heritage Global Body, which we are a member of. We were a strong party in the negotiations of that outcome, of the global agenda. We have fallen into the implementation of that in relation to the country and the SDG level. And the membership of us in UN Habitat, we have used it very extensively to learn and also to feedback into the country, both our policy direction and also participation of the other sector departments. The document that you may have seen by now, the IUDF, or the Greater Urban Development Framework by COPTA, is a co-product of Human Settlements and COPTA. In essence, we're the lead department in the development of this, because it's also enhancing the white paper.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find that as we discuss the white paper, all these documents will be integrated to an extent that tomorrow there's a regional meeting of UN Habitat together with AU, and not tomorrow, on Thursday, with Lesotho as the chair of the region. Mm. So that meeting is taking place here in Cape Town for 2 days. That's part of the UN Habitat process. So I'm just saying the contribution of the subscription that we're paying, including Cities Alliance, NAVO, I think we need to emphasize that those are the two global bodies where we are extensively and practically participating in, both in terms of contributing and receiving as well.
Okay.
Global knowledge. Thank you.
Honourable Member, thank you very much. And the acting DG and the team, we will be waiting for the report in 2 weeks' time. Before you go on holidays, you will have submitted it to our secretariat. But the one for bazaars, I'm expecting you to come back during the week. Honourable Members, I think it would be important that we have a joint meeting with Invite National Treasury, together with the Petitions Select Committee. We deal with this issue. We are serious if we are saying we're not going to support you, but we must do something from our side. We can invite National Treasury together with the other select committee to talk about this issue. I know it will assist those cities. Thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned. We have not forgotten about our concerns to the minister. Please do convey. We are going to write a letter from our side. The meeting is adjourned.
No, I saw I have that one here. I want to sell Zimbabwe. You know, but whatever was happening in Zimbabwe, I was thinking of that. I want to sell Zimbabwe.
What do you suggest? So I was just wanting to, with regard to the members who will be around me, seeing that we only got four members today.
No, there is, because there's also a three-line week meeting. What is the date? Is it
Tuesday. Plenary in the morning, and we scheduled that meeting for the afternoon, 2 o'clock.
Oh, plenary is in the morning. And is it 5th?
And the 6th when we're done, so I'm not sure the member will even come in next week.
No, if it is, we are finishing on the 6th.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. I need tea and coffee. I don't have tea and coffee.
You must just send me something also for that Kubalanga.
Oh yeah, no, let's talk about that. I'm not going to send anything. Remember, there was an outstanding issue. You are closer to Mpumalanga. You don't want to join me when we follow up in Mpumalanga.
When? Yeah, you can call me.
Yeah, they will invite you.
I'm not again.
Mpumalanga
at home.
Yeah. It is not far from Mpumalanga.
No,
she can join me.
Because from home to the airport, I drive 58 kilometers.
Mm.
Then from home to the street, it's
120. So,
OK.
Okay, the first follow-up meeting is on a human segment.
From
follow-up, we must think in Limpopo, what is it that we can follow up? Very helpful, the one we had yesterday. These people will go, they don't do anything.
I'm telling you, they don't.
Okay. What is it? The clinic. The clinic issue. You invite Goma Zimun Fari. The MEC.
I want them to come and account.
Goma to invite the mayor. The stakeholders about Gamdala Clinic.
Which clinic?
Gamdala Clinic. Gamsufa is very close. You remember we said they must build one clinic in between the two communities.
Okay.
So we must get those people who are toy toy in that meeting. Can you come to Mbumala and send this follow up?
Wait.
She just
That trip, when is it supposed to happen?
15 to 19. Yeah, I'll see.
Alright, this is the mayor, the MEC, and the stakeholders come to the
meeting. No, I think I'm
what? Mina, what's this? What have I done? Oh no!
It's a Monday.
No, it's a one day. But also there is another follow-up to the clinic. The water, Oshane water scheme. Remember that was not handed over. You will also the internet.
As education.
Oh. Is it? Abas Cheker. Okay. I don't mind, you know, you can use it. Don't forget the national department. Here it will be Department of Water and Sanitation. The district. Tanzania district. It will be they must send the invitations to the mayors in this municipality. Bushbuck Ridge, local municipality. And happy belated birthday, Tabis. Happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you,
and Bombela, local municipality.